This is Damo's Recovery Session. Coat Hire will help make your project happen. 13 15 52 or coathire.com.au.
He's in here. Nice to see you on a Monday, Purple.
Hello, Jim, Bill, you and
Damien.
We just played the club song for the Demons.
Yeah,
could not be happier for them. We belted them last week, Damo. They deserved it, I thought. They were ordinary against Sydney, but they were brilliant yesterday. And now they play finals. First time in 12 years.
Yeah.
And it's the story of the round and almost of the year for me.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And the fact they've got there in round 22 and not having to wait till round 23, I think that'll free them up too, to do something in round 23. And I think it'll also allow them to reset and just get everyone right for whatever lies ahead. And who knows where it could lie, because outside of Richmond, every other club on the ladder, inclusive of the two clubs immediately beneath Richmond, in West Coast and Collingwood, have got injury concerns or form concerns, and they're of a nature that I think is going to throw the finals around, and some team that can get on a surge, and it could well be Melbourne, is going to be the beneficiary of that.
I tell you what is interesting. You lose a bloke like Hogan, you think, gee, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, they look dangerous. They look unpredictable. You got blokes like Hannon and Fritsch.
Yep.
And Wiedemann and Kent. And these blokes just bobbing up, don't you? And you think, and Melchior, of course.
Melchior's been a really good player at two footy clubs and is still getting better at Melbourne, I think. And
but it just makes it unpredictable.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? You feel sorry for them because they had the massive plan coming out of 2017 to get in a key back. And they did, and they got in a Premier One in Jake Lever, and we know that he's gone down. So I thought that was going to derail their big picture plans. And then they also have had their one of their captains, Jack Viney, out for a large part of the year. And I thought that added to Lever was going to hit them. And then Hibbard was out for a long period of time. Mm. He returned yesterday. Hogan's out again, Bill, as you say. But Brayshaw's come back in, and he's been outstanding,
very good,
hasn't he?
Hasn't he been?
Outstanding.
And Maxey was back in town yesterday.
Well, and this game now is enormous. They play GWS on the weekend. They win that, potentially. Obviously, they need to win it. If they win it, they go. Well, they can certainly get a home final out of there. And that would be the thing they'd be desperate for, wouldn't it? The MCG first round for Melbourne.
That'd be the one. Basically, those two ladder positions, six GWS playing seventh Melbourne.
And would Sydney swap. Play Colling, Hawthorn.
So four plays five, that game being held in Sydney, which is fifth, and Hawthorn. So that game will determine the double chance, one that you would think. And then more intrigue when you go up the ladder again. Collingwood has to travel to Perth to play Fremantle, and West Coast has to travel to Brisbane to play the Lions. And you could see a scenario where those results go Collingwood's way, and then you've got a home final for Collingwood at the MCG in the first week.
That would be enormous. Imagine the AFL with Richmond a home final at the G, Collingwood a home final at the G, Melbourne a home final at the G. Jeez, they would be loving the thought of that.
It could be four home finals or four finals at the G round one, couldn't it?
Would Geelong get one down the Cattery, Bill?
No.
Well, see, Hawthorn could.
Yeah.
Four
could
to four, fifth. And then Melbourne could go to six. So, it could be Richmond,
absolutely,
Collingwood, Hawthorn and Melbourne and having Melbourne. Their home final spots.
Now, that would be nice for the coffers.
It would be.
I just liked it. I loved the way they were challenged in the game. As Bill said, we're all watching it thinking Lacroix kicks that goal. Here we go again. But they just dug deep and steadied with great composure. And I thought just won it actually running away.
In the end, they did. They actually did. They controlled those final few moments. And liked how they did it, as you say. Set it up really early, didn't they? They got 4.5 goals ahead, and then the heat kicked in, and as it was going to, or it seemingly kicked in, and they just held on, didn't they? Had an 8-point, 14-point buffer regularly, and then Lacroix moved in. So the other big story out of the weekend was the official re-emergence of not just his club, but him as an individual, was Buddy Franklin.
Yeah.
Incredible
He did kick, what, six?
Against
Collingwood at Cullen. So he has actually been building.
It's three
weeks.
It's a 3-week patch, Jim. They had that game against the Gold Coast Suns, and then they lost by four goals. And then the following week, they then played and lost to Essendon.
Yep.
That was the week where John Longmire came out and said, Buddy's only trained for 20 minutes for the entire year. And we know what's happened since. He's kicked those six against Collingwood. Only had the two against Melbourne, but he had seven shots at goal and then another five on the weekend. So 13 goals in those last three. 26 shots at goal, though, is the key, I think, stat to come out of those past three.
Did you see the vision of him walking past the attendant who asked him for his pass?
Yeah.
How funny is that?
Well, we had Isaac Heaney on, and poor old Isaac got pulled up.
He did.
And he had to try and find his pass, but he's just gone.
You're joking me, aren't you?
But what about Sydney? The last three weeks ago, I think we all thought, gone.
Nearly finished,
Maxey, gone.
Well, that was after the Gold Coast and Essendon loss.
That's right.
They just looked terrible, and now they look
So what's the turnaround there?
Buddy.
right.
They've also got some game back into McVay, and Jack's been good too, Bill, since he's managed to get himself back in. So, held it all together. Clearly, McVay makes those players in the midfield better because they were struggling in that period in question, Bill, when they were losing.
Bloody
and
oaf.
They're a life chance again.
Canterbury is one of them.
Collingwood, again, we've been saying it all year, but gee, they deserve some real credit,
agreed,
don't they? Getting themselves to 14 wins and still with the chance to go into second spot. Did it on the back of, as you called, Jim, a seventh debutant, Nathan Murphy. You had James Aish on the footy show yesterday, Bill, didn't you? And he made the point that a month ago, four of the six in the back line were playing together in the VFL. Himself, Oxley, Nathan Murphy, who Madgen. Had his debut, and Madgen. And it's a month ago, they were together thinking, we're going okay in the VFL. And now they're holding up a back line of a team which is going to get a double chance and could well get the home final double chance. So I do love what that club has done this year, despite all the injuries that it's copped.
No, wonderful. Couldn't agree with you anymore. I love it.
And there's another
one. Get back, sorry.
Yeah,
Jeremy Howe, we had him on the Triple M. What about that? An operation for the Corky, half his fist the size they took out, and he reckons he's going to play next week. Now, he'd be certainly welcome in. Darcy Moore, any news on him?
Don't see him being ready for this week. Haven't ruled him out for the year, but I can't imagine them taking him to Perth for his return game this week.
And Treloar was the other interest.
Yeah, it's going to be late in the finals period. I reckon he might be aiming for a preliminary final type of time frame, Bill. And I reckon if he's ready, he may as well go all out on the track on that week and see what happens.
But it's interesting, the VFL, for Solo kicks five. Jared Blair was very good. Josh Dacos, Callum Brown. So they do have a bit of depth, don't they?
They do.
They really do.
They do. They've finally got some people back. Another superstar of the competition just got his team over the line in the last half of the last quarter. Sean Burgoyne against St Kilda. Now, you look at the list of nine games out of the weekend, and the Hawthorn St Kilda one was not one of the highlights, but it was from a Sean Burgoyne perspective, as it often has been when it comes to him playing a key
role. Back end of Diego Maradona's career, Purple. I don't know if you remember watching him play for Argentina in those World Cups. He just used to lurk. He just lurked around, and then suddenly, as soon as something was alive, he just went bang. Sean Burgoyne, for me, now spends 20, 30 minutes doing bugger all. He does, just cruises, and then suddenly, when the moment arises, he just is the best player on the ground by daylight second. Yeah. He's a phenomenon, that bloke.
We packaged up a video, sort of, I suppose, collection of what he did in those last 15 minutes for Access All Areas today, Jim, and he did more than lurk. He went and got the ball.
No, but what I'm saying is earlier in the game, he's just around the place and often, you know, not where the footy is, and then when it matters, he is just extraordinary.
He was. And some dinky little handballs around the, even over his head, Western Bulldogs 2016 style, got the play opened up for his team. So
intercepted stoppages, won three of them when it mattered. Yep. I mean, he's just
took a big clunk in a pack and then kicked the long bomb goal.
Nah, he's extraordinary.
And they needed that, obviously, because they stay in fourth spot going into this round, leaving themselves with the scenario, beat the Swans in Sydney, and they stay fourth. So, I mean, had they lost that to St Kilda, it would have been heartbreaking for that footy club. Not that anyone not associated with Hawthorn would use that terminology about that club.
They will need
now
to be much better than that, though. As Al Clarkson said, in 2 weeks' time, they're going to have to be much better. They got smashed clearances, smashed contested footy. They can't do that against Richmond.
No.
They will get beaten badly.
But the good teams just get over the line in those games where the bad teams would actually lose them, wouldn't they? So St Kilda was going to win that game against a lot of teams on the weekend, and that obviously went against the flow for them. But they just did enough when it counted.
Yep.
We're out of glass half.
Oh, don't tell me. What about Geelong kicking 23 goals?
Does it even count? Does it even count?
Yeah, it's a world record.
I want to talk about that game, but not in a positive sense.
It's a world record, you flop.
All right, we'll make it positive then.
I will make a positive of Ross Lyon's press conference. Love it? The great Mick Malthouse was, I think, the all-time great at it.
Yeah.
When they know they're completely buggered, they decide, I'm coming at you. Rather than sit back and just cop it, Big Roscoe's thought, the only way I can defend 24 against in a row is to actually go someone, which I half admire. I half admire it, Purple.
I can't use that word with Ross Lyon anymore, Jim. And, you know, I was his number one ticket holder for so many years, and I'm off it now.
They've had a hard year, but I just like anyone who looks at that and goes, right, I'm stepping forward. We've done the positive stuff, so what else have we got in our armoury?
And negatives. Now, can I start it?
You Please start it.
Fremantle Footy Club.
I want to start there too.
Look at this. 2013, Jim. Mm-hmm. That's only 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Finished third, played off in the grand final against the Hawks.
Yep.
Got beaten by 15 points. Grand final, 2013. Mm-hmm. 2014, finished fourth, out in straight sets. 2015, finished on top.
You forget that, don't you? I looked at that before.
Top.
17 wins, 5 losses.
Beat Sydney in a qualifying.
Top of the ladder.
And then lost a prelim to Hawthorn. That was 2015, finished on top. 2016, finished 16th with 4 wins. And then last year, 14th with 8 wins.
Mm.
Mate, where are they going?
Well, on the back of, and just for the to snapshot what did happen, Bill, the Cats were trailing at quarter time and then kicked 23 goals to ultimately win by 133 points. It's the 9th time, Jim, they've lost by 50 points or more this year. They've made a decision to recontract Harley Bennell, who's only played 2 games of football in the past 3 seasons.
And
Hayden Ballantyne.
I can't believe that.
And it's moving the right way for Aaron Sanderlands to also be given another year. So this rewiring, replumbing, restumping that Ross Lyon forecast, was it last year, early last year?
Yep.
I don't know where they're at with it because the messaging out of there is anything but they're rebuilding. They're just a mess of a football club.
Well, you've got to take him for his word, I think. And he's saying, well, we're going back to go forward. They're not the first team to have done that. I think they've got some cattle out at the moment. But I think you've just got to acknowledge, Purple, that their list is not actually that good.
No, I think you have to.
And now they'll go back to the draft this year and they'll get another good look at it. They got Chira and Brayshaw out of this last draft, who are both going to be bloody good footballers.
And they both look really good.
Yeah, so they're just their supporters have to accept they're going to be poor now for probably another 40 games.
And Rosslyn, I think, also needs to take some responsibility for how they look when they play, because it's not enticing. Even when they were going okay, Bill, in those better years, they threw a lot of money at Jack Riewoldt, at Harry Taylor, at other players, and they didn't die wondering when it came to putting a figure in front of those people, and they didn't want to take it, even when they were going well and the ladder finishes. So now when they're not going well and they're down the bottom, it's a long, long way out of this, and he's still got 2 years of a contract to run. If he or their club was unencumbered with that contract, it would have to be something where you'd have to have a look as to where he and they are going.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm just wearing the devil's hat here. What have they won? 7 games?
Yeah,
14th?
Eight
games and a 14th. Did you expect at the start of the year that Fremantle were going to be any further advanced than that at this time of 2018?
No, probably. Oh, maybe 1 or 2 more wins. But what I didn't expect to happen, Jim, was a game like the weekend just gone, and also for the losses to be in the 10-goal range on average. And that's what it is.
Well, I must admit, I did look at that game on the weekend and thought, freezing cold, Simmons State, whatever it's called, Cardinia Park, against the Cats, who are smarting after the week before. I expected them to get beaten badly in that game. I didn't have 24 unanswered goals in my head.
Yeah.
But I just don't see him as being any better than that. And I reckon if you sat with Ross, he'd say the same thing. You go, well, that's about where we're at as a club.
Well,
they've won 7 games at home and lost 5 at home.
Mm. So 7 of their 8 have been at home. Yeah. Pose a question to the two of you. Of the teams that have missed the 8 and the bigger name teams, we've got a reigning grand finalist in Adelaide. We've got a team in Port Adelaide which has been given resource upon resource to perform for the now and recruited in with Rockliffe and Watts and Motlop. You've also got Essendon, which did similarly when it came to recruits, Smith, Sard and Stringer. And that trio played well throughout the course of this year. They're missing the finals, that trio of clubs. Mm. Who's most underperformed?
Oh, Adelaide, no doubt. There have been reasons for it. They've had extensive injury and all the rest of it, but they have. To be in a grand final and then to currently be sitting 12th, they would be bitterly disappointed with what's gone on there, no doubt about it.
And John Worsfold's saying that Essendon, it's not a wasted season. I refute that, Jim and Bill, because they've had too many seasons since 2013 for the drug saga to not have the luxury, I use that word in inverted commas, to waste a season when everything is right and okay again and everyone's up and about. So we know what happened. They got to round 8 and they changed things up. And I get what he's saying about that time frame since setting them up for 2019, but they've thrown away 2018 in the process. And when Port Adelaide loses 5 of the past 6, Bill, having set themselves up quite nicely, it does, I suppose, pose the question where they are at. But one thing that has happened in the past 24 hours, the outspoken usually, and I love him for it, David Kosh, chairman, president of the club, has backed Ken Hinckley in as coach on 5-8-8.
Extremely comfortable. I think Ken's the best coach for Port Adelaide Football Club. It's sort of interesting how things change. At 11-4, Ken was seen as a superhero. And then everyone changes their mind so quickly. That's sort of the brutality of AFL. I can absolutely say there's no question about the future of Ken Hinckley whatsoever.
So we can remove that, and not that was generating a lot of discussion, but we can remove it. That's categoric. But yeah, when you see them now, Bill, with the 12-9 scoreline, and David Cross reminded us there, it was 11-4.
So it's well, 1-5.
So if we put the same filter on the discussion as we did with Freo, for me, there are four clubs in the bottom half, in Port Adelaide, Essendon, Adelaide, and the Western Bulldogs, who I expected to be much better than their now position is. Mm. I didn't expect, I thought North would be somewhere around,
really?
I never thought they'd be the bottom. I thought they'd be somewhere around 10, 11, 12, so they're about where I thought they'd be.
Yes.
And I'd never had any real hopes for Freo, St Kilda, I never thought were great, Brisbane and Carlton and the Suns. So they're about right, but the four for me are the Dogs, Adelaide, Essendon and Port.
And Port. You're throwing the Dogs into that as well.
Yeah. They have to be disappointed with where they are.
The Dogs have only won 8.
Yeah,
that's fair. I reckon you're right.
And they've beaten Geelong, but outside of that, those wins they've had are all amongst the teams outside of the 8. Luke Beveridge, I don't often see eye to eye with him, Jim, as you both and as you know, Bill. But I agree with him 100% when he says this about the possibility, and I think it's just a furphy to put out there, Jim and Bill, but the possibility that the two clubs down the bottom of the ladder, Bill, Gold Coast and Carlton, possibly getting draft picks in the compensation form after immediately their first picks.
We'll be pretty disappointed if these compensation picks come in before us in the draft, because our demographic as far as youth versus mature age isn't dissimilar. Hopefully if there's compensation there, they're either at the back end of the first round or there's some kind of caveat on it where you need to trade it out for mature age.
I think he's summed up.
Couldn't agree with him anymore.
Really well.
We discussed it on the rub. It can only be that. But what the AFL are very good at, Purple, and they've been doing it now for a long time, is throwing this sort of garbage in. So then there's outrage. So then when they come back to the position they actually want, the outrage isn't there because you've already had your outrage about something that was never going to happen. They are the best
in
the world.
Jim, do they?
In the world, they're the best at it, Purple.
I know.
So they'll be preparing a compensation package that now will look like they've come back and listen to everyone, which is something they've already got ready.
Which is about halfway through the first round, maybe?
I reckon.
Still would be wrong in my eyes too, and I think I'm speaking for you too, because you I reckon tabled this when you were chairman of North Melbourne Footy Club. This should never ever get a compensation pick within the first round itself, and I'm actually coming around to that view, and I hope the AFL maintains that line.
Do you know who needs a little smack or a big? Dane Zorko.
He does.
He's carry on the weekend again.
It was poor. Yeah, I thought it was really ordinary and pathetic actually, because it happened in round 5 in the first Q clash when Tuke Miller went up to him post match and he didn't embrace him all nicely, and then really smart Alex style on the weekend, thrust the hand out after telling him to, and again, look, people just have a look at the vision, you can work out what he said to him, really nastily and very unsportsmanlike, and I wouldn't have shaken his hand on that occasion if I was Tuke Miller.
Well, I hope they'll have review today, Bill, the Lions. I hope that the players, rather than Chris Fagan, are the ones in that meeting who turn around and say, listen, mate, that's not what we want to stand for as an organisation or as a group of people. We don't want to see that happen again.
He's captain,
that's what should happen. Exactly right. Luke Hodge, people like that should be in that meeting saying to him, listen, mate, if we want to be respected as a group of people within this community, we can't have that garbage happening.
But then, Chris Fagan's got to grab a few of those boys. Nick Robertson. I know Robertson. Yep. I didn't mind what he said, but that's just getting a bit smart, Alec, too. And then you see Dane Zorko, a bit smart, Alec. You just got to bring that back a bit.
Yeah, I had more of a problem with Zorko than I did Robertson, for what it's worth. But I like the theatre of a build-up to a game with that sort of commentary. I know it's not what everyone likes, and Chris Fagan made it known he didn't like it, but... Yeah, it's a good point you make, Jim, about the players around Dane Zorko. He's done so well, hasn't he? He's won 3 best and fairest. The first of those 3 tied with 3 others. Legitimately won 2 best and fairest on top of that initially, tied one, and then an All-Australian last year. Has carried himself so very well, but in times of adversity, sometimes you can sometimes see a side of someone that he would not be at all happy with right now.
As long as he fixes it.
Yeah. So we touched on that. GWS too, Bill. We just need to quickly sign off on them. We're playing well against the Swans until injuries hit within game.
They hit the wall.
Again.
Jeez, yeah, it's Griffin went down. Davis had to be manoeuvred up to the forward line. And then Finlayson was just totally out of his depth when it came to playing on Buddy Franklin, one out and exposed. And look, that's going to happen to hundreds of footballers throughout the course of a season, but he just was not anywhere near it. And North, they threw it away last week, I thought, in that third quarter against Western Bulldogs. And again, it allowed them no wiggle room. They lost to Adelaide, but fought the game right out hard, right to the last minute yesterday against the Crows in Adelaide.
I said to you, Purple, I reckon it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I reckon North could easily win the next three games and still miss.
Yeah,
and they would have. They would have won last week and this week and next week. I reckon they'd still miss because Geelong will win. I reckon they would have still missed the eight. So that's how extraordinary a season that is. I agree with you. I thought they were really good. Poor second quarter, but from the second half, I thought they were really good. And I agree with Brad Scott. They're building something really nice, but they need outside run. They've got to get those boys.
What do you know about Gaff, Jim? It's the footy industry tells
down
you
down to two. Damo said
it's firming.
You said down to two.
Yep, it's firming that it's North Melbourne.
And
just by way of same thing. Again, relying on the people I speak to in that player movement space at club level and agency level, player agency level. Yeah, it seems as though they're well placed for both.
Come on, Jim.
I will say this. I watched Polek on the weekend with you, and he did two or three things that are exactly what North Melbourne
outside
need.
Outside run. Questions. Jared Waite, he kicked 3 goals, 10 marks on the weekend. Another year?
Oh, he gets another 5 years. I just love him, Bill. The theatre that man presents is gold.
And then he stuffs it up, which we love.
Which we love.
Yeah. And Damo, anything, any other news on St Kilda, or is that a good loss help?
It doesn't change the overall scenario, but it's better losing by 4 points than losing by 84 points.
Right, bus.
There it is.
All right, we've had one on the Gold Coast for a lot of the year. We've had one at St Kilda for regular parts of the year. We're leaving it there, and we're going to have to send a couple over, long way over, all the way across to Fremantle.
Ooh.
They need a proper
Ross will love that when he walks out and sees the bus with you driving it. Imagine that, he'd punch you.
Purple, great to see you. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday for the midweek run.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Damo.
That was Damo's recovery session. Co-Tire will help make your project happen. 13 15 52 or cotire.com.au.